Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so you will be judged. And the measure that you measure out to others will be measured back to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First remove the wooden beam from your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Gospel is perhaps one of the better remembered Gospels by many people today, and I say that a little bit to our shame, in the sense that anytime anybody ever questions anything about anything, anytime, anywhere, about anyone, somebody says, "Oh, you're not supposed to judge." You know, it's kind of an anti-democratic sort of conversation stopper. How dare you suggest anything is wrong about anyone at any time, any place, anywhere? Is sort of, and the world seems to know this this passage very well, and of course, but here it is here. So the question now for us is, how do we understand what the Lord is saying and apply it? So the Lord simply says here, "Stop judging that you may not be judged." Now, what does it mean to judge? It would seem to me, you know, just having pondered this text for many a year, that what the Lord is talking here about is the judgment of condemnation. There are certain judgments that are forbidden us, you know. For example, this judgment a certain person is going to go to hell or is in hell. I mean, that judgment seat belongs only to God, right? So the church never has ever, as to my knowledge, has never announced that any individual who ever died was in hell. Now, we've ultimately canonized certain saints and so on and declared that to our knowledge, they are certainly in heaven, but we have never announced that anyone, even very, very wicked people, are in hell. That belongs to God alone. Another judgment, I think, that is beyond our ability is, I'm better than you are, or sometimes we do it the opposite, you're better than I am. The Bible says in the book of Samuel, for example, first book of Samuel, man sees the outward appearance, but God looks into the heart. So I don't think we're able to make judgments about qualitative judgments such as that. We don't really know ultimately what's going on in everybody's heart to be able to make judgments like that. So I think there are certain judgments that are forbidden us. But what's interesting, if we were to read just a few more lines, and in fact it's probably in tomorrow's gospel, the Lord says the following. He says, don't give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine. Well, it sounds like he's making something of a judgment. In other words, he's sizing. He's telling us you got to kind of size people up, and not give what is holy to dogs. Now, of course, we don't like these types of language today. I mean, these are Jewish expressions. We wouldn't run around calling people dogs or pigs, but it's an expression. But clearly what the Lord is saying is, you know, again, don't give what is holy to dogs, don't throw your pearls before swine, means that we do have to make some assessments about people. That someone isn't ready to understand this knowledge, some people use knowledge of our faith simply to ridicule and mock it, and that we don't need to simply put our treasures out before people who will either completely misconstrue it or misunderstand it, that we need to size up the audience, so to speak. And later on in the same passage, he also goes on and he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. Well, once again, he's telling us we've got to make a judgment here, isn't he? He's saying, there are people who come to you and claim to be speaking for me or claim to be speaking some sort of truth, and they're not, and you need to be able to size them up. And he says, you're going to know them by their fruits. See? So what is he telling us to do? In effect, make a judgment. So what is the Lord... See what I'm saying? We can't absolutize a text like this. Don't judge so that you will not be judged. And so on. And then the Lord says, for the measure that you measure out to others will be measured out to you. So it seems that in this particular part of the passage, the Lord is telling us that certain judgments are forbidden us. And also, I think he's probably trying to warn us that we should try to avoid being overly strict or critical or overly harsh in our judgments, that we should we should be careful, because if we want to throw the book at people, if we want to always come up with the strictest and the harshest punishments for people, that the Lord said, all right, that's the measure you want to use, I'll use it for you too. Are you ready for that? See? You know, throw the book at us, it's the sinners, Lord. Just wipe them out from the face of the earth. Well, look out now, because I don't know, by the last time I checked, I'm still in the category sinner. All right, so. But again, so there are some judgments that are forbidden, and the Lord is giving us a caution here. But to say that it is absolutely wrong to notice sin, point it out, and call it sin, is to take a text like this to the extreme, and to undo, if you will, other texts that tell us to do precisely that. Now, I can't remember them all this morning, but there are a lot of other texts, for example, where we're told to correct the sinner. Book of James says, the one who corrects the sinner cancels a multitude of sins. That is an act of charity to cancel the sin, or to correct the sinner. So again, over and over again in Scripture, we're told to reprove, to correct. St. Paul corrects and reproves sinners. Jesus does the same. So this idea that somehow we're not supposed to notice sin or ever comment on it or say that something is wrong because we're being judgmental, you're judging, is simply incorrect. And we have to be able to see what the Lord is getting at. And now, the next thing the Lord does, though, is an interesting thing. And it's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. And I didn't notice any of us, having a good chortle as this was read this morning. But, the Lord talks about this guy with a 2x4 coming out of his eye. You're supposed to laugh, right? There's a guy with a 2x4 coming out of his eye. And he says to his brother, you've got a splinter or a speck in your eye. You're supposed to laugh. It's funny. And he says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, while this plank, this 2x4, is coming out of your own eye? And then he goes on to say, but notice what he does say. This is what I want to conclude on. He doesn't say, you have no position to correct anyone. I'm sorry, just never correct, because you're not perfect either, and don't ever correct anybody, and how dare you speak about anything. No, he says here, deal with the 2x4 coming out of your own eye first, so that you will see clearly to correct or to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. See? So don't miss the last part of the image there. We are to be growing in holiness. We're asked to really look into our life and to ponder what our own sins are. And to see more clearly what our sins are. I think if we were to wait until we were absolutely perfect, we could never, ever correct or preach or teach or do anything. But again, are we really looking at some of the serious things in our life, and are we willing to have enough humility so that when we do correct the sinner, we're able to do it with humility, without pride and arrogance. St. Paul says to the Galatians, I believe, if a brother among you is detected in sin, you should set him right. Again, correct the sinner. But with patience and gentleness, see, lest you yourself fall into sin. So in other words, Paul is saying, if you notice a brother or a sister in sin, point it out to them, correct them. But do it with gentleness and humility, because again, we don't want to fall into sins ourselves as we correct the sinner. Oh, you jerk, look at you, you're no good, and we're not even seeing the 2x4 in our own eye. So we are to correct the sinner. We're to do it with patience, with humility, with kindness. So, again, a gospel text to be careful about, right? I think one of the biggest problems that we have in interpreting Scripture frequently today is that some people take one text and make it the whole Bible, and they don't want to have other texts to balance it. And that in the end, what we have is a solid teaching here. which has something important to say to us, but also has to be balanced with other teachings to tell us to correct, to discern, to know the crowd that we're dealing with, to be able to recognize wolves in sheep's clothing and false teaching and false prophets, to be able to correct the sinner, but with patience, with kindness, with humility, lest we fall into the sin of pride, which is the biggest sin of all. Amen.